The data for progress in handling victims of sexual crimes continue to show poor indicators. At the center of this worsening issue is how police handle sexual assault crimes, which is now the object of a campaign called Make Police Investigate. According to campaign leader Karen Isles, their most recent survey of almost 1,500 respondents show that one in three women will be victims of domestic abuse, one in five will experience sexual violence, and only 10% of those experiencing those serious crimes will report them. When they do report, the mishandling by police is widespread. Ms. Isles is the director and principal solicitor for Violet Co. Legal and Consulting, and I caught up with her today as she took a break from what she calls a radical campaign. Karen experienced in the past the very struggle of rape survivors as she herself fell victim to gang sexual violence at the age of 14 years old. She explains the impetus behind setting up a boutique company with a focus on helping victims of violence, especially women and children.
For me, it was about creating a boutique legal practice that specialises in creating radical solutions and outcomes for women, gender diverse and First Nations people.
Despite the fact that Tanya Plibersek has already called for a national action plan about this as far as to 2009, it seems we're still having quite a high rate of fatalities and mortalities, quite high still for women and children in violence. So is this part of the reason why you've decided perhaps a boutique type of service is needed to quickly address the problem?
Absolutely. I think that there are, at the moment, only about 10% of women tend to report sexual assault to police. Very small portion that do report to police. There's not many who have a good outcome in our justice system. So I've set up Violet Co. Legal and Consulting specifically to make sure that women, gender diverse and First Nations people have representation, particularly when they're trying to get the police to take action, whether they're trying to engage in the justice process, and also other things such as employment law and discrimination that happens in an employment context. That's the space that we're trying to, you know, provide some pretty trauma-informed and culturally responsive services in.
Since the time that you've actually reported what happened to you personally in your own life, which has been a few years back, have you seen any changes at all in terms of the way police behaves or handles cases similar to yours?
No, unfortunately, not at all. And that's despite the rhetoric. I mean, we hear the police launching programs of how to make it easier for people to report. That's terrific. But the problem is that those, when the overwhelming experience of women, gender diverse and First Nations people, when they're reporting serious crimes to police, is that they go nowhere. And the reason they go nowhere is police have a discretion on what they will and won't investigate. There's no legal duty for if they investigate something and to what extent they investigate it. So really, I mean, I spoke to a woman the other day at an event and she said she went down to Bankstown Police Station only 12 months ago to report some very, very serious childhood sexual assaults that happened to her and her sister. And she simply got waved away by the police saying, oh, it'll be really hard. I'm not sure you want to go through that. And she's like, of course I want to go through it. That's why I'm here. That's why I'm reporting to police. I want you to do something. The police have got this discretion and it's not appropriate that their biases towards women, towards people with disabilities, towards members of our LGBTQI community, towards women of colour, towards people who don't speak English as a first language. It's not appropriate that those, you know, misogynist and racist biases that police have interfere with their discretion on what they do and don't investigate. We need some rules to hold them to account.
There was a time that they've introduced domestic violence liaison officers as well. Are they providing any support or kind of assistance in any form at all from the end of the police?
Domestic violence liaison officers and Aboriginal liaison officers are commonplace in our police forces. I think my personal experience and the experience of my clients is that it's very difficult to have them involved. Sometimes people go into a police station to report something and that dedicated officer isn't on duty at that time. Those officers are, you know, a really welcomed addition. But the problem is that we've got this systemic issues within our police force that no matter how well-intended and how personally very supportive a particular police officer might be, coming up against the systemic cultural misogyny and racism, and they're not my words, they're the words of the Her Honour, who has just completed an inquiry into the Queensland Police Force in 2022. In Queensland, the police force up there is characterised as having systemic misogyny, sexism and racism. So, you know, you've got some very well-meaning police who are in these roles as DV liaison officers or Aboriginal liaison officers, but coming up against the might of the system, it's very difficult, I imagine, for them to feel like they're doing, you know, their best every day.
So Tanya Plibicek also, when she announced the National Action Plan in 2009, discussed the issue that the only way that it can be addressed is through a national strategy, that you can't actually just have one form of action to solve this problem. Like you said, it's quite ingrained. If it is a national strategy, what parts of our national structures that could also have influence over the police conduct?
Absolutely. Well, I'm calling for a national approach so that there are guidelines and an agreed framework at a national level that can then be applied in the various states and territories. The reason for that is, I mean, my personal circumstances illustrate this point very well. I was assaulted in both Queensland and New South Wales, and dealing with inconsistencies across both state lines is very difficult. Rape is rape. We need to call that out and have a collective national response. What we can have at a national level are minimum standards that our community expect that the police will live up to. And it shouldn't matter what type of victim you are or what state or territory you live in. That expectation should be met. Having legislation that codifies that minimum standard of investigation should be consistent. And then secondly, once that minimum standard of investigation, the duty of care, is legislated, then what we need is independent, so not connected to police, not staffed by police or former police, but independent mechanisms where someone can go and make a complaint about police conduct and be confident that that complaint will be dealt with in a fair, transparent and unbiased manner so that we end this situation of police investigating police. It's not appropriate. So hopefully our federal government can play a role in bringing that together.
Do you think that Labor this time will actually be much more serious about addressing the issue?
I think they have to be. We've got a national plan that says we want to end violence against women and children within this generation. Well, we've got to get our skates on. And you can tinker around with what happens inside the courtroom as much as you want, and that's great. But the problem at the moment is that 90% of women aren't even reporting to police. So they're not even seeing the inside of the courtroom. Those perpetrators are not seeing the inside of the courtroom. And yes, the justice system, you know, inside the courtroom has massive problems with it, absolutely. But what I'm campaigning for is to improve the justice outcome for the 90% of women and Aboriginal people that never set foot inside a police station because they have no confidence that the police will handle reports properly and will actually be bothered to go and do something about it. So for me, that piece of the puzzle is missing. The Standing Council of Attorney Generals have a national plan about how to combat sexual assault in our society, but that plan doesn't touch on anything to do with policing. It only touches on our court systems. And our justice system, you know, is made up of a couple of components, and in particular, two main players are the police and the justice system. So if you exclude half, if you don't do anything around policing and their responsibilities to our community, then you're not going to tackle it. You're not going to solve it. You're not going to change the picture that is endemic in our country when one in five women experience sexual assault. We've got to change something.
A recent report just came out that there's actually quite a high level of violence by police against women in the UK. Where do you think is the problem coming from? There's no shortage of us in the sector advocating for safe working environments, family environments, social environments for women.
I think the person to really draw on here is Glenn Davies, who spoke on the episode of The Project with me. Glenn is the former head of the sex crime squad in Victoria Police. And in my conversations, you know, with Glenn, him and I have spoken about, you know, there have been culture change programs in police forces across this country for the last 30 years of my career. And they're not working. And the reason they're not working is because there needs to be that systemic change. And in his view, what is needed, and in my view as well, is some strict rules that are legally enforceable. Like anyone else's job, you've got rules. If you don't meet them, there are consequences. At the moment, those consequences don't exist. The rule book doesn't exist. It's not legally enforceable for victims. And we need to, unfortunately, take that control on the police's discretion away from police for very serious crimes, because they're not doing their job properly. If they did their job properly, great. We wouldn't need this. But they're not doing their job properly.
Even as simple as believing a rape victim and then pursuing the details of the case and then actually investigating it and then reporting it back. As simple as that level.
The minimum standards that this campaign is campaigning for are minimum standards such as take witness statements from the victim, from witnesses, and at the appropriate time and in the appropriate manner, interview named perpetrators. Mm-hmm. Now, that's a very base level expectation of community. The other element is collect evidence, so whether it's forensic evidence or other contemporaneous evidence, collect it and store it. Don't destroy it. Don't get rid of that evidence. Actually maintain the integrity of that evidence in a proper way. It is unfathomable that exceptionally low-level baseline doesn't exist in our legal system at the moment. If we change that, I'm confident that we'd start to see perpetrators being held to account for the violence that they choose to use.
We've actually written letters and made contact to all the attorney generals nationally. So far, you've only had a response from Alex Greenwich. The elections is coming.
Right.
Do you think you can use this potential platform, the coming election, in this state?
I would hope so. Violence against women is so widespread, it's ridiculous. Our politicians need to be standing up and taking notice and stop sweeping these issues under the carpet. For anyone who has a loved one in their family who has experienced sexual assault or domestic violence, these are issues that go to the core of our day-to-day lives. They're issues that go to the core of our families and our relationships. And what we need as political leaders who recognise that we don't vote as voters just on issues of how much is the price of milk. We don't just vote on issues around the price of electricity or whether, you know, there are apprenticeships in male-dominated trades. I'm sorry, but for me and many of my clients, the issues of domestic violence, the murder of Aboriginal women and children, and sexual assault, these issues, if they happen to you or your family, they are everything. They are the most important thing. And what we need is political leaders who are going to stand with victims and survivors and actually say enough is enough. The police need to be made very clear on what the community expects them to do, because it is just not appropriate that these criminals run around completely unchecked and never brought to justice because of systemic racism, misogyny and sexism in our police forces. We've got to do something to change this.
So if we've got actually listeners who are now tuned in and are experiencing violence in some form or other, especially women and children, what would be some of your suggestions?
I'd suggest reaching out to a solicitor as a first step so that you understand what your options are. There are many options. There's the criminal justice system, absolutely. But there are also a range of other options that you can consider. The Women's Legal legal service. There's community legal services, the Aboriginal legal service, legal aid. There are a range of options in the community as well as private solicitors. I'd also then recommend of getting some good counselling supports in place, because anyone who interacts with the justice system is going to be more traumatised. Certainly, you know, calling 1-800-RESPECT or Full Stop Australia to make sure that you've got some appropriate mental health supports and scaffolds around you before you even consider exercising some of your legal rights.
This week on Current Affairs, Karen Isles there, Director and Principal Solicitor for Violet Co. Legal and Consulting, continuing her campaign, Make Police Investigate, and ending that report.